It is a great pleasure to welcome Steve Cole today. Great to have you here on Memorial Day.
Hi, good afternoon, Al.
I'd just like to start with an email you sent to us here at the station, if you don't mind. It's pretty brief. This can be the impetus for a conversation here. In October of 1969, it was a 21-year-old Army infantry soldier. In October 1969, I was a 21-year-old Army infantry sergeant stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas, when my company commander informed me that I had been chosen for a special assignment. I was selected to serve as an escort for the body of a young infantryman killed in Vietnam. This was an emotional assignment for me, and the memory has stayed with me. 50 years later, my wife and I traveled across country as we scheduled a visit to this young man's hometown. We reconnected with members of this young soldier's family and honored him again with a visit to his grave. This is a very short summary, but you have much more to add to it, I know, because we were talking, you and I, before we got on the air. This was for you in a bit of a reunion, too, when you went back 50 years later. That's
correct. It really closed the circle. It made it a complete journey for me.
Well, I want to know if you knew there was a circle that was not closed before you went. What were you carrying around those past 50 years? But first, before we get there, share a little bit about the origin here. You were in Vietnam. Did you enlist, by the way, or were you drafted?
No, I was a college student, and I was invited by the president to join the service.
How generous.
Yes. And it was an offer you couldn't refuse.
Yeah, yeah.
But I felt it was my duty. You know, I was of that part of the World War II generation, mm-hmm. you know, son of a proud World War II veteran, and
right.
I felt it was my obligation to serve. So I went into the service thinking that, well, I have 3 years under my belt in college. I'll get a cushy clerk job or something. Hmm. But then they gave me an aptitude test where I wasn't smart enough to figure out when I answered the question, would you rather read a book or take a walk in the woods? I said, I'd rather take a walk in the woods. So naturally, I wound up in the infantry.
I would have probably said, walk in the woods with a book. Why do I have to, you know?
Then I knew it was serious. I knew I was going to be going to Vietnam, and I was offered the opportunity to go CS, and I turned that down because I figured 2 year was enough. I didn't need an extra year on the government payroll. So then I was sent to NCO school down in Fort Benning, Georgia, where I learned infantry intelligence and learned to live in the swamps. And then I was assigned to Fort Riley, Kansas for my on-the-job training before I went overseas. And it wasn't when I was at Fort Riley, Kansas, that my company commander did call me in. And he said he had a special assignment for me. They're very selective about who they pick for these duties.
What are the traits that they're looking for?
The traits are to be high moral character, for one, and also the right type of personality that could handle an assignment on their own.
You're so young.
I was 21. And I was told I was being flown out to Oakland, California. I was going to meet with other people who were meeting other servicemen who had been killed. I was given a one-day training session of what was expected of me and my duties. And then I met the casket that contained Stanley Doak of McCook, Nebraska, a young 19-year-old infantryman who was killed just 3 weeks before in Tay Ninh province in Vietnam. I was the one that had to escort the casket to his home in McCook, Nebraska. The government made great travel plans that worked out well. Went to the airport. I draped the flag on the coffin as it was transported across the tarmac, made sure it was correctly placed into the plane, flew the plane. I was the first one off when we got to Salt Lake City. The casket came down. We were met by a hearse that took us to the train station in Salt Lake City. And once again, I loaded the casket onto the train car with the flag on it, properly placed. And then we went to Lincoln, Nebraska first. And we were met by the funeral director from McCook. We put Stan's casket into the hearse and drove the hour and a half down to McCook, Nebraska, a typical small Midwestern town. Once I was there, I picked up a rental car, and I had the responsibility of driving out to the Doak family house and met his mother and father and said, I've brought Stanley home. And that's where the whole process began.
Do you remember your state of mind that day?
I was scared. I didn't want to screw up. But I also knew I had a great responsibility to make sure that this young man was honored as he should have been honored. He was the first young man that was killed from that town. He had only graduated from school the previous June. He went to Vietnam in January, and in September he was killed in action. But it was immense responsibility because I was by myself, and I had to make sure everything went perfectly. And I didn't want to mess up, and I owed it to Stan to give him the right treatment that everybody deserved.
Mm. Yeah, we were also talking how this is just one story. It's your story and Stanley's story, of course, but it also represents countless other stories.
Yeah, it does. That's what Memorial Day is all about. You know, it's easy to think of a parade, think of a picnic, think of everything that's on sale. Mm-hmm. But it's also when we should be thinking about those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. And as I reflect on this, I think of, you know, I'm going to be 79 years old. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. But when I was 21, I was full of piss and vinegar, like every other 21-year-old serviceman. And we think of the men we lost then. And then at that time, I was thinking of my father's generation, the World War II generation. There were still World War I veterans that were still alive.
Right.
But as we go from one generation to the next, we lose track of who passed before us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the veterans from World War I, barely remember the veterans from the World War II. And now as my generation is starting to move on, and we're getting veterans from Afghanistan and the Middle East that are coming up behind us. And we just can't lose sight that so many thousands and thousands and millions of men and women have given their lives for the country. And it's important that we remember them and honor them.
Couldn't said it any better than that, Steve. You mentioned at the beginning that you and your wife revisited this town in mm-hmm. Kansas, and you actually met up with his family. Yeah,
yes.
With his siblings.
Right.
With Stan's siblings, right? And you felt like this trip for you had felt like you had come full circle in
right.
your own words, right? Did you have a sense that there was something you needed to find closure or reconnect? I mean, or was it just something you realized?
It was something that I carried inside of me for 50 years, and I felt I wanted to close it at some point because there were touch points over the course of that period of time. When the Vietnam Wall was dedicated in Washington, my wife and I took our two kids. We went down for the dedication. I got to see the wall. I took a rubbing of Stanley's name, wow. sent it off to his family. Stayed somewhat in contact, but kind of drifted apart over the years. When we were planning a trip west and we were going cross country, I said, I want to build in a stop to McCook, Nebraska. So I wrote to the newspaper saying, yeah, I'm looking for advice and help. Anybody in editorial staff or can go to into your morgue and see what you can find in old articles. But I was the young sergeant that escorted the body of Stan Doak home for his funeral. The day later, I get an email back, and it was from Stan's younger brother's wife. She worked at the newspaper. And we talked on the phone. We made arrangements. We knew the date I would be there. My wife and I would be there. And we arranged to meet all the surviving siblings that could be there and their spouses. And we had a nice reunion. We talked about things. His mom and dad had unfortunately passed. But most important to me and to them was that he had a little sister named Sandy. You know how little girls kind of worship their big brothers?
Sure.
And this poor child was about 12 years old when Stanley was killed, and she was devastated. And she had so many questions that nobody had been able to answer for 50 years. And when Sandy and I sat down and we were able to talk, I just filled in all the blanks she had that she didn't know about her brother and what had happened. And that was a touchstone for myself and my wife, because here was a family I was reconnecting with that I had been so instrumental in an important part of life to carry them through that process. It was a chance for me to remember Stan and value that service that he provided to the service he gave to the country. Because when Stan was buried, we had a full military honors. We had honor guard taps, 21-gun salute was played. I was the fellow that had to have the flag folded, presented it to the parents mm-hmm. on behalf of a grateful nation. When we went back to the cemetery 50 years later, I walked into the cemetery and I said, this isn't where the funeral was, is it? They said, no, I said, Stanley was buried over there on the other side of the cemetery, wasn't he? They said, yes, but when Mom and Dad passed, we got permission to move him over here to where his parents were. And there was his marker. And, you know, veterans, we put a coin on a gravestone of somebody we served with or somebody we knew. I've put several coins around various stones around the Dutchess County, but I felt it important to leave a larger coin on Stan's grave and just reconnect with him. And we said a prayer, and it was good because it gave me closure, because now I knew that his family understood what had happened, and it gave them peace. It also closed a chapter in my life, and that gave me a very fond memory. And then what I was able to do as a result of that, I had Stan inducted into the National Purple Heart Hall of Honor in Newburgh. They knew nothing about how he could get into it, so I made sure that happened. We got Stanley into that. So it was a good emotional Memorial Day type of moment.
Yeah. Who would have known at 21 that your life would be so intertwined with this almost like an arbitrary person,
it was you know, it was like it was destined to happen. You know, I was the one man that was selected to do this one job for this one individual, this poor fellow who was killed in an ambush, and it was difficult, you know, for me at times to understand the full weight of it on me when I didn't want to mess it up. But after it was done, it just gave me a sense of pride that I could do this for Stan and his family.
Yeah, and you certainly grew up that day.
Yeah,
over
that's
that
true.
Course of those days.
And knowing that, you know, 3 months later, I'd be the combat infantryman, you know, slogging through the jungles, not down in Tay Ninh province, but in another part of Vietnam. But I had my own unit that I was responsible for, doing what had to be done.
Well, thank you very much certainly for your service, and thank you for all the, just staying connected to that and keeping these experiences of yours alive, you know, through the last 50 years. And thank you for sharing such an important and personal story with us today.
Oh, I appreciate it, Adam. Thank you very much. And just as one final word, just...
Yes. Please.
Remember those who have given so much that we tend to forget about, because we would not be here today if it were not for them. Remember the dead.
98.1 KZE.